Hey, Relevant Leaders, welcome to this month's Relevant Leader Monthly. I'm so proud of you for tuning in to really investing in yourself and growing as a leader who is hopefully becoming more of a highly effective influencer. Today, we're going to learn a bunch about leadership because of who's joining us today, Rich DeVinny. Rich embraces what it means to be a highly effective influencer. He's a retired Navy SEAL commander in a career spanning more than 20 years. He completed more than 13 overseas deployments. And since retiring from the Navy, Rich has worked as a speaker, as a leadership consultant, and now he's a best-selling author. His book is called The Attributes. I actually highly recommend reading this book. Rich was a keynote speaker at the Elkhorn Leadership Breakfast that we put on a couple months ago, and I'm so excited to have him join us today. Rich, how are you?
Great, Ronnie. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's just an honor having you here, man. Honor being with you. And I'm just excited to ask you some questions about leadership because you have both were in leadership position for many years and continue just to lead both in your family, you lead your organization. I'm just going to jump right in.
Okay, I'm ready.
With a seemingly simple question, but it's a hard question. It keeps me awake at night. Is how would you define leadership?
Yeah.
And why is leadership so dang important?
Okay. Well, first thing is we have to separate leadership or being a leader from being in charge, all right? Because we often conflate the two, and they're not the same thing. One is a noun and one is a verb, right? Anybody can be in charge, and you can self-designate. You can say, I'm in charge, okay? Leadership is different. You actually can't self-designate as a leader. You can't call yourself a leader.
Yeah.
It'd be like calling yourself good-looking or funny, right? Other people decide whether or not you are someone they want to follow. Leadership is a behavior. That's what it is, and it's a series of behaviors that allows someone to make that decision. And so those behaviors are things like empathy and authenticity and selflessness and accountability. But those types of behaviors are what, in fact, cause others to say, I consider this person a leader, they are not just in charge. Because we all know we have people, have experienced people who are in charge, but we don't consider them leaders, right? And other people who aren't anywhere near in charge, but we would follow them to the ends of the earth, right? So,
yep.
And it's all because of these behaviors.
Why do you feel, I'm assuming that you believe it to be, that leadership is important on a team, in a family, in whatever, that leadership is, why do you think leadership is so important in anything?
It's a great question. I think leadership helps. I think people look for leaders. I mean, this is historical. I mean, from our earliest days, we always looked to people to follow, to kind of get some certainty. I think it stems around certainty. Is a leader, when behaving the right way, provides certainty and provides comfort to those who consider him or her to be such. This is what parents are. I mean, parents really officially are supposed to be leaders. But people who provide safety and comfort and certainty to their children, right? I mean, my dad used to say, hey, parenting is the ultimate leadership position because you're taking a life from day one and you're shaping it, and it struck me because it is so true in the way we behave with our kids. But yeah, I think it's the idea of certainty, comfort. People, we all at some point in our lives need to and look to others for guidance and for answers and for mentorship, and that's why it's important to step up when it's your turn or when you're able to.
Yeah. So a lot of people talk about peak performance. You talk a lot about optimal performance.
Yeah.
What is the difference between optimal performance and peak performance?
Yeah, well, one's singular and one's more infinite, right? So peak performance, we have to understand, is an apex. A peak is an apex. And there's only one place to go when you're on the apex, and that's down, okay? Peak has to be scheduled, planned, prepared for, right? The pro football player spends his entire week prepping and planning and scheduling so that he may peak for 3 hours on Sunday. Optimal is different. Optimal is how can I do the very best that I can in the moment, whatever the best looks like in the moment. Okay, so sometimes the best looks like peak. It looks like everything's clicking, flow states, all that stuff. Everything's cool. Sometimes our best is, hey, I'm just head down, going step by step, grinding it out, and it's dirty and it's ugly and it's grimy and it hurts. But I'm still moving, you know, yeah. I'm still performing, right? So optimal performance allows us to see performance along its entire span because we can then modulate. We can understand. I don't need to be peak when I'm driving to the grocery store, right? So I can modulate my performance so that in those times where I don't need to be peak, I can be charging my battery. And then I can peak on demand when I need to. That's really ultimately what life is. I mean, we don't live in a life where we typically get the athletic environment. We're like, hey, at this moment, you need to be your best. That sometimes happens, right? But life holistically requires optimal performance, requires that modulation.
Yep. So why do you believe optimal performance is important for a leader?
Well, because one of the reasons why a leader is a leader is because people are following that person, right? People are that person is doing things and modeling behaviors that others are following and being inspired by. You know, we all know the certainty, the truism that panic and fear are contagious, right? This is proven, right? Well, guess what's also contagious? Calm. And pacing, you know, and the ability to kind of move through environments in a very steady manner, steadiness. And so a leader who can perform optimally not only manages his or her own longevity in that space, because leadership's a tough position, right?
Yeah.
But they also model the behavior that then resonates down to their team members and the people who actually consider them a leader, right?
Yeah.
So it's important. That's what really creates that type of modeling and reward system creates a high-performing team.
Yep. So, you know, I know, obviously, in your book, you talk about 25 hidden drivers of optimal performance. Mm-hmm. You're talking about attributes, not just skills, but attributes. And you can talk about that if you'd like, if it makes sense in answering this question. What two or three attributes, because I know you can list probably many, but what are two or three attributes that are absolutely essential for a leader to optimally perform?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the book, I lay out five explicitly, and those are empathy, selflessness, authenticity, decisiveness, and accountability, those five. And I think the reason why those five are essential is because, well, a couple of reasons. First of all, I've been around the world, around the country, with various leadership groups, and we've asked the question of people, what do great leaders do? And usually when we ask the question, we have a whiteboard next to us, and we just have people shout out answers, and we make a list of those answers they shout out. So we end up with a list of 20, 25 different behaviors, what great leaders do. Those five are always on the list, right? Those behaviors are always on the list. So, and it doesn't matter where we go. And so those things allow for people to feel like this is someone I want to follow. We all know, actually, intuitively, every single one of us knows what great leaders do. We know what great leadership looks like because it's the way that they make us feel through the way they behave. That's why we choose them. So all we have to do is ask ourselves. If we are ever curious to know what it takes to be a great leader, just ask yourself the question, who is a great leader in my life who I've experienced? What did they do?
Hmm.
You have your answer.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be those five things, by the way.
Yeah, just keep going back to it. Yeah.
So...
What advice? Like, I mean, because obviously you written a whole book about it, but what, like, two or three pieces of advice would you give to any leader to begin developing the attributes to optimally perform, or to just, man, this would be my best advice that I could give you to just become the best leader to optimally perform that you possibly can?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first piece of advice is just to recognize leadership as a behavior, okay? Those things that you do. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your credibility or your cred sheet looks like or your stat sheet. It's what you do in the moment, the way you behave.
That's good.
And we can manage our behaviors consciously, right? We can say, how am I behaving? Empathy is huge. I mean, if you are deliberately working to get into the perspective of another, especially those in your span of care, they will feel cared for. They will consider you a leader, right? So first is a behavior. Second is to model the behavior that you want to see more of. Okay, you do it yourself. So this is the problem with the word leader, right? Because the noun version implies you're in front. And we've heard, like, leaders go first. Leaders actually don't necessarily, I mean, we know the best leaders are often in the back, like inspiring and motivating. It's because we got this word from like foot races where the leader was actually the person in front, right?
Right.
Leaders do go first, but only when it comes to behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So leaders go first when it comes to behaving the way that they want to see more of. And then they have to reward that behavior, right? So reward the behavior you want to see more of. So on your teams, if you want to get a team that has leadership attributes or any of these attributes, start rewarding the attributes. This is different than rewarding from skill, right? If you want to see more empathy on your team, start rewarding empathy. Start rewarding people who are empathetic. If you want to see more adaptability, reward people who are adaptable. Instead of rewarding the person with the best sales numbers or whatever that skill might be, change the reward system. And people will adjust. They will do what they need to do because we will automatically steer ourselves towards those rewards.
That's great. And I love just even as our leaders are listening you're not gonna take someone further than you are. Like if you're not modeling it to the other people around you, they're not gonna go further than you are.
No.
And so, man, that's powerful. If you can, like, thinking of your time as a Navy SEAL commander, because 99.99% of us like just don't understand that world, and it intrigues us. And you know, like you guys are just bad men. You know, it's like, and as a leader in that, like it kind of blows my mind. So if you could kind of narrow down to just a couple things that. What were the greatest leadership lessons that you learned as a Navy SEAL commander?
Yeah, I think you learn it day one in training, and that is the best leaders understand and exacerbate the strengths of their team members. And the best leaders, I think the most important thing you can say to people in your span of care are the words, "I don't know and I need you." Right, because what that tells someone explicitly is that you are an essential part of this team. You can do things that I can't do. This is another leadership saying we hear all the time. Never ask someone to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. Well, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, I would never assume that I can do the work that my snipers were doing. I mean, I'm not good enough, or my breachers were doing.
Right.
They are there because they're doing stuff I would never do myself. Okay, I trust them and I need them because they do things that I couldn't do myself. And so I think for me it was about really understanding that the SEAL teams was a team where you leaned on each other, and vulnerability was key. And vulnerability comes with a stigma of showing your weaknesses. True vulnerability is not just showing your weaknesses; it's showing your strengths and your weaknesses, wearing it all on your sleeve. Because if I wear my strengths and my weaknesses on my sleeve, then all of my team members know exactly when they can lean on me because I have strengths, and they know when I'm leaning on them because they see my weaknesses. That's what true vulnerability is, and that's what you actually need as a leader of a team. So I think that's really what I learned. You learn that. I mean, as soon as you start SEAL training, you start learning that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
So obviously, as a Navy SEAL commander and really in any facet of life, if you're a leader, you're a leader of, there's a team element involved.
There's people. I mean, the one common element of any leadership situation is people.
It's people.
I mean, because
right.
You don't lead machines, right?
So, right.
And people come with dynamics. I mean, people are inherently unpredictable.
Yep.
They're complex organisms.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that it's all about adjusting and moving and flowing. It's why attributes lend themselves way better towards leadership than their skills. I mean, certainly there's some leadership skills, okay?
Yep.
Listening is a skill. Delegation is a skill. But most of those leadership qualities are attributes.
Hey, we actually shot the interview with Rich DeVinny in one sitting, but we thought it'd be better to split up into two parts. And so make sure that you tune in next month to next month's Relevant Leader Monthly to hear part two of our interview with Rich DeVinny.